Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Looking at the latest ratings of Megyn Kelly, it is not looking good. Oh, poor Megyn. So she leaves Fox News. She did so in a way where she was, she said, oh, I want to spend more time with family. Well, no. The major network call, they give her an opportunity to do her own show. It's once a week. She's doing stuff on the Today Show. She thought, this is my big time. Get off this stinky little network called Fox. No, not doing so hot. So her very first episode was an interview with Vladimir Putin, a sit-down, a pretty big exclusive. Got some decent viewership, not great, but decent. Followed that up with the next big interview of Alex Jones. Had 3.6 million viewers, not that good. Why? Well, in their last episode, now she's down to 3.4 million viewers. Why isn't that a lot? Well, it's really not, because for a major network like NBC, let's look at CBS, for example, had 60 Minutes on, 7.2 million. So, wow, double the amount of people watching 60 Minutes. She even lost to America's Funniest Home Videos. And to be truthful, I'd probably watch America's Funniest Home Videos too. I don't even know who she interviewed this weekend. I have no idea. She does have her day show. There's some rumors going on. I'm looking at this Lifestyle or Life in Style magazine. Apparently, she's pretty worried. She's been reaching out, according to this article. 47-year-old Megyn Kelly reached out to her former Fox News colleagues, including Sean Hannity, but Sean hasn't returned her calls. Oh, snap! Sean Hannity is one of the notoriously nice guys in media. Goes to show you, man, you burnt some bridges leaving that network. Not looking good. Well, someone that is still on Fox News, and it's Jesse Waters. Waters World's still a thing. He's part of the Five. He has a show on the weekends. And he did his Water World, but in this case, in Waters World, it was someone else doing the Man on the Street section. Do millennials know what socialism is? That was the question. Went out to talk on the college campuses to see what the college kids are up to when it comes to socialism. They keep hearing the term. Do they really know what it is? You want to guess? Take your wager. 3, 2, 1. Here it is.
In your opinion, is socialism a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, I think people kind of throw that word around to try to scare you. But if helping people is socialism, then I'm for it.
You don't understand what you're saying. If helping people socialism, then I am for it. Oh, boy. It is like saying, well, if robbing a bank's for helping people, then I'm all for it. If punching someone on the street is helping people, I'm all for it. All right. Not exactly the most intelligent comment you can come up with here.
It could really benefit our country in the future.
I think it's a good idea.
Socialism as a concept, as a philosophy, is good. I think that it's got a bad rep.
Trying to spread the wealth is definitely a good thing in America, and it's definitely a thing that's needed.
Oh, no. Spread the wealth in America. I will point to every single other country that uses socialism, and you tell me what path does it go down? Well, it doesn't empower the people. It, in fact, imprisons the people. It causes them to be a slave to the government. And all throughout history, socialism doesn't work. In the college kids, they are so into the idea that everything should be shared until one day they get a job. Until one day they start accumulating some wealth for their own, and until one day they realize that the government is taking more than enough, and socialism becomes in the back seat.
There's a lot of things with social welfare that I think would be good to have.
Do you have a positive reaction to socialism or a negative one?
I'd say a more positive one. I'm definitely more open to it.
You should have a standard of living for all people.
Okay.
Just by default, that should just be available.
A standard of living for all people. Oh, boy. You know, and the idealistic idea, it's they sit on a college campus. Mommy and daddy are paying their bills, right? Most likely for all of these people that are talking right now. And they feel like, oh, this whole experience, everything here is free. Not realizing the college is charging them $20,000 a semester. Oh, everything is just so beautiful. It's so free. And then one day I'll be able to pay it back because I'll be making so much money with my philosophy major. Wow. It just goes to show you, when you're in college, you don't know everything. You don't have it all figured out.
If we did it democratically, then we could really incorporate socialism.
You do it democratically. Democrat socialist. What does that sound like? Wonder if he ran for office recently.
Like, it definitely seems like a more feasible option, and it could help more people. Like, just as a broad term, it could help more people.
It could help more people. That's the thing I always look for. I say, well, whatever the cost is, as long as we're helping people. You know, when it comes to our personal finances, what do I need savings for? As long as I can just spend my money, and I can just give it all to the guy that's standing on the corner with a cardboard sign. Because, you know, ultimately, I want to go help other people. So what do I need savings for? You know, when it comes to putting food on my table, you know, what do I need anything but rice and beans or ramen noodles for? You know, anything else, I'm just being wasteful. I'm being just a capitalistic pig, you know, thinking the things I've earned with my money and working, you know, the things I've negotiated and the things I've done for myself. I'm just being an absolute, I'm just so inconsiderate. What was I thinking? It's the problem of most people in college. Luckily, I never fell for the socialism trap. But one day, I think most college people will wake up and they absolutely will realize that for the rest of their life, they'll look back at this and say, boy, I'm so glad America's not a socialist country. Boy, I'm so glad this country wasn't ruined by ideas of socialism. You know, there's another segment here that they keep continuing on the street. I don't even know if I should play it. It's kind of embarrassing.
How would you define socialism?
I mean, honestly, that definition gets thrown around a lot.
Oh, that's the same intro as the other one. But let me tell you, if you are someone that is raising a child, I think it's important to at least give them a head start before they go to school and are infiltrated by people like this that are answering these questions. Oh, yeah. Especially if they're boys. One day you're going to hear a girl talking like this. Do not adopt the things they believe in just because you think they're cute. Girls, same thing. Don't adopt the things the guys believe in just because you think they're cute. Know what you need to know and stick by it, because I think the uninformed decision or the uninformed people lean towards socialism because they think it's the idea to help other people, but ultimately it's the idea to keep all people poor. This is Overnight America, Camo X. And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Cutting it close there, Ben. Getting it down to the wire. It's probably standing up. I didn't touch it. Getting down to the wire, putting in some bumper music there. No, it never turned itself on. I think it's because it was in last second. But either way, one of the worst abuses in the history of St. Louis's stray rescue shelter here has been found and is trying to make the road to recovery. But the extensive amount of hurt that this animal's been through is just really, really sad. And Roger is someone I think works with the shelter. I don't know if he's the executive director or someone that is a person that, but he was the person that did the video with this dog named Glamour. And I want you to meet this dog and fall in love with this dog and realize that animals deserve second chances. And in whoever did this to them, I think deserves to be beaten publicly.
I'm going to read from the doctor what's wrong with her, because there's no way I could remember this because there's so many things.
All right, so everything that's wrong with this dog, he's about to go through and tell them what the vets have been working on. This looks like, to me, a black lab, maybe? Maybe. But there was a lot of issues with this animal. And in this video, the start of it shows what they were doing, The second half of the video shows them actually trying to work on this animal and try to save the animal's life. Looks like an older dog, a little sweetheart. Whoever did this again deserves to be publicly beaten. I mean literally publicly beaten. I want to see us go down to an area, tie this person up, and do what they do in Singapore and just wax. And the caning, we need to bring caning. And I think that anyone that would show up, no one would scream, "This is inhumane." After they see what this person did to this animal, they would say, "Oh, nope, continue." Listen to all the damage here.
She has a shattered left knee, a fractured left forearm, a ruptured eyeball, a broken jaw, two broken ribs, a deep wound on her neck, heartworm positive. She's going to have one of her legs amputated. She also has bullets in her neck and in her knees.
That's a lot of stuff. The website is strayrescue.org, and I saw the video on YouTube, but they've been posting it on their social media. It's really sad. It's really sad that people will treat animals like this and leave them to die. Very sad. Kind, loving animal trying to inspire all. In this case, the shelter is using it as a way to say, hey, dogs deserve second chances. And I know that firsthand. My dog is a rescue dog. My dog is one that was abused, was hurt, was, I mean, just left to die. 55 pounds is what a roughly healthy dog would weigh for my dog breed. This dog, when found, was about 20 pounds. The pain and the sorrow this dog had to have gone through, collapsed throat, ears were all chewed up, maggots all over the body, just left to die. A humane officer picked up the dog, brought him in, tried to regain some of their weight, cleaned him up, tried to get the surgeries in, couldn't save the ears, had to crop them off completely. Now, it took about a couple of years before the dog got adopted. I was the one that fell in love with him. And when I went into the shelter, I said, I want to see the dogs that don't get a chance. They said, you know what? Here's a dog that's probably going to die in the shelter, live the rest of the life here. It's probably never going to get adopted. And I went to go check out this dog, full of muscle, just completely scary looking, intimidating, would sit there and look right through your soul. So I said, all right, let's check out this dog. Like, oh, you want to see Gotti? Yeah, I'll check him out. Took him out for a walk. He was such a good boy. And I knew instantly this was going to be my dog. I just knew I connected with this animal. I adopted him 6 years ago. Best little dog I've ever had. And after all of the abuse the dog had in his life, never did I think the dog didn't appreciate me adopting him. Never did I think the dog was unforgiving. I mean, it's not like it was held against me, as in it hated all humans. And some dogs have a hard time recovering, but a lot of dogs don't. They just have the ability to forgive again. And it's just one of those wonderful, beautiful things that God has given into a dog. And I don't understand why they're so able to forgive and love after all the abuse they take, but they do. So when you hear about dogs like this in Glamour, please give dogs like this a chance. Go, if you're thinking about getting a dog, go to the shelter, adopt a dog. Don't go out to a puppy mill or, you know, seriously, support your local shelters and adopt from them, okay? Adopt from them. Listen to the rest here, what's happened next.
She was tossed in a vacant lot in East St. Louis to die. She was beaten so bad that it actually crushed bones that they can't save. But she's the sweetest dog God ever put on this planet, and such a will to live, and she wags her tail for us, and we love her.
So they're saying in that shelter, it takes a special person to work with all the animals because it's not an easy job. It's stressful. It's monotonous. You know, you're going and you're doing the same thing day in and day out. You have volunteers that work with the dogs, walk the dogs, clean the dogs, you're cleaning the pens, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're trying to find ways to secure food and funding and all of these things. Let me tell you about the back end of a shelter, because I've volunteered and I've also worked with multiple, well, just one shelter, I should say, not multiple. But I know what that struggle is. It's not easy to keep a facility up and running like that. And one of the things that apparently people heard the story of Glamour and said, I want to help in some way. You know what they ended up doing? They said, I'm going to give a $2,000 reward. Whoever can identify the monster that did this to this dog, get police involved. Let us find this person. I've retweeted it. If you wanted to see this video on my Twitter, at Ryan Recker, you can actually get to it there. Or just go to strayrescue.org. Check out some of their social media links that are on there, and you can get straight to it. But a $2,000 reward, if you can direct the person responsible for doing this, shattering a knee, fracturing a forearm, rupturing an eye. You beat a dog so much you rupture its eye. Broken ribs, deep wounds around the neck. A lot of times that's with when you tie them up, whatever that may be, scraping up against their neck. I've even heard of cases where, depending if it's a chain or a rope, you have it around a dog's neck chained up. It becomes so tight around the dog's neck, or maybe it keeps fighting and struggling to get away and can't, that when it rubs up against the dog's neck, it'll actually break through the skin and it'll get all bloody. But then since the dog still continue to stay tied up, the skin will heal with the rope or with the chain. It'll become like one. It's pretty disturbing, some things that people do to animals. Heartworm positive, that wasn't hard enough. Leg amputated, that's going to be one of the next steps based on the condition of it. But the bullets in the neck and knee really stand out to me. The bullets in the neck and knee of this dog. Just a shame. Someone takes target practice on this thing. And then this video lays there and wags his tail. Not for the attention, but just probably happy not to be beaten for a night, not to be shot at for a night. Now finally getting taken care of. Going with the flow. Good for this rescue, by the way. I can only imagine what the medical bills on this animal is going to be. It's going to be outrageous. And I know that people are donating to help this strayrescue.org here in St. Louis. Maybe we'll be able to get Roger on in the future at some time. That would be pretty cool. All right, coming up in the Senate, the Republicans may be trying to go to plan C, D, E, F, G. Where are they at right now? Their plans to try to revive this health care bill looks very, very, very unlikely. Now they're going to default to the one thing they may be able to agree on. We're going to talk about that. And do you actually feel like anything's ever going to happen with health care? We'll take your calls on Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm watching some more ratings from Variety. I'm always curious how these television ratings work out. So a new episode of Big Brother did pretty well, was even with last week's airing. The problem is on CBS, there's a game show called Candy Crush, which I don't quite understand, that is not doing so well. How in the world did that get made into a game show? The game that your mom or grandma plays 2 years ago has been made into a game show. I really don't understand. But apparently it's a thing. They've already aired a couple of episodes. Airing at 9 p.m., Candy Crush averaged 0.8 rating with adults, 2.9 million viewers. So, hey, Megyn Kelly, at least you're not Candy Crush. Earlier in the week, Megyn Kelly drew 3.1 million viewers in her last episode. Ugh, so bad. So bad. Megyn, do you regret leaving Fox? Probably not. This is an opportunity you had to take. You got your big payday. You probably don't have to work another day in your life. If you want to really just be that mom you want to be, you can probably do that and just kind of just enjoy the rest of your life. But she's super talented. what, still in her late 40s, got a lot of time left. All right. Healthcare bill looks like it's going to get a pass, as in we're going to pass it by saying we're not voting on it, right? We're just going to, as in if you're going to pass, as in to say no thank you. So two more senators have came out. One from Utah, Senator Mike Lee, very popular senator, and then Jerry Moran from Kansas left the Republican Party and said, well, not left the Republican Party, but left the party's longstanding efforts to get rid of the Obamacare legislation in reeling. Lee and Moran both said they could not support Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's legislation in the current form. They joined GOP Senators Susan Collins of Maine and Rand Paul from Kentucky, both announcing their opposition in the last bill that was put out there. So they don't have enough votes. It's not going to get through. They're having some major issues. What's going to happen with healthcare? There's so much on the table for this. Their political careers hang in the balance. They got to do something. The next thing that may happen is basically they may repeal it but not replace it. They probably won't have a replacement in effort. So now this is where everyone's focusing. They say, we could repeal it and then say we'll start the repeal in 2 years. Even though 2 years will come up very quick, there's no way that they'll be able to get anything in time. But ultimately what it'll do is, well, let's see what's happening in 2 years. Oh, yeah, gearing up for re-election. Doesn't that make sense? So at least they'll be able to say, we did something, even though we tried, we did something, which was a repeal Obamacare. I was looking at the healthcare rankings. United States still ranks very, very low. We got a very difficult system. Very difficult system, and that's going to be very difficult for us to turn it around. Even with Obamacare, we have the worst healthcare in the world, basically. Not the worst in the world, but, you know, of those that should have good healthcare, we still have a very poor, poor system. The latest effort, though, trying to ramp up a little here in Missouri. Governor Greitens signing a prescription drug plan, getting some mixed reviews, mostly because, well, here's one positive review. Mercy Menzies, president of the Assisted Recovery Centers of America in St. Louis, likes the governor's approach. Two portals from where they get medications, the pharmacies and physicians. Those are the part of the team that they're fighting for the battle. I think it's a real step forward. However, heard earlier today, Steve Stinger on Mark Reardon's show here on KMOX said that the governor's plan, the prescription drug monitoring program, is in name only. Doesn't go far enough, as in it doesn't actually, not going to be effective. A lot of other states, you know, there's so many states we can just literally copy and paste what they're doing to fix it. Some counties have already started their own thing. And one of the things I believe was in the report from Steve Stenger is that certain counties and systems and cities, they do their own thing that's successful right now. This would actually maybe set them back. It would be like competing against them, not giving them the best of the resources to do the right thing. Listen, you can't let something like that stop you. What you really need to do in this case is find a state that you like doing it and copy it, period. Don't have to start it from scratch. But the thing is, you got to do something on these prescription drugs. The ways where people are getting around the laws, they're finding ways to fuel their addiction to painkillers or opioids or anything that they're getting their hands on, either using it for themselves or selling it. It's a major problem. And for Missouri to wait this long to get into the game is a big shame, big shame. You could draw some parallels of what's happening here on the state, too, with the healthcare system. Why did it wait so long for the Republicans to try to jump in this? Why did it take so long for them in power to try to find healthcare reform? Why? In fact, here's a report from CBS, which I thought was kind of interesting, with CBS chief correspondent Nancy Cordes.
What he wants to do now is to hold a vote in the coming days. He hasn't set a date yet on a bill that passed the Senate with almost universal Republican support back in 2015 when the stakes were a lot lower because Republicans knew that President Obama would veto it. And that was a bill to repeal Obamacare, or at least major swaths of it, but not to have that repeal go into effect for 2 years, giving Republicans time to craft a replacement.
I have zero confidence they'll be able to craft a replacement. Mostly because we've seen what they can do with half a year, and I would say they didn't even get close. So, yeah, it's not going to be 2 years down the line. You think they're going to go into the next session, end of the year or next year, early next year, and they'll be able to come into it a year from now and just have this miraculous answer? Someone on Twitter probably summed things up the best. They said Republicans right now are kind of like the heckler at a comedy club. They heckle the comedian, they heckle, and then they get invited on stage and they don't have any jokes to tell. That's kind of what they did with healthcare. And I can see that, and I agree to an extent with that. We've had the opportunity, Republicans have had the opportunity to take the office, which they won, and they've had the opportunity to find ways to fix this thing. But ultimately, it's so screwed up they can't fix it anyway. If just repealing the mandates are not enough, then what are we going to do to fix healthcare in this country? And the problem is, we got to do what Malcolm Gladwell said. And remember, the Canadian journalist came out when Canada was trying to figure out what to do next. They said, hey, you can't have it all. You got to figure out what you want. If you want to have health care provided by the government because of the cost, you're not going to be able to provide the best health care. You're just going to be able to provide what you got. If you are going to try to get good health care, then you're going to have to provide a lot of money. So where are you going to get that from? Well, we don't have the ability to just, you know, take funds away from everyone, or do we? So you want just a lot higher taxes so everyone's covered. Is that what you want? Okay. Well, while we're at it, we might as well just keep raising taxes. Let's get rid of the debt until we're finally fully reliant on the government. Let's just hand over everything we got. Let's just fix this government mess. Big problem is with all of these mandates, you've given so many promises that will never be fulfilled. Because at some point they're going to go away. People, I think they're not guilty of falling into the trap, mostly because the Democrats lied to them this whole time around. They actually believed something like this would work. And we knew all the long that it wasn't going to work. It was kind of a pipe dream. The thing's going to collapse on its own. We find that the people that are being helped and getting onto the systems, they would have applied or been able to get onto Medicare or Medicaid anyway. We also find that what was the study? There was a study that came out. It was pretty fascinating. I can't remember what it was. But even less people are getting treated at this point, mostly because the people that are getting on, and this is part of what is happening in Missouri, the people that are getting on, they're finding that they're able to use Obamacare and the subsidies that they're getting for it to fuel their drug addictions. Because what they found out was drug addiction is continuing to rise. As soon as Obamacare became law of the land, opioid addictions and other drug pain medication, all of those have risen, and they feel like it's because they're getting the medication thanks to Obamacare. So, yeah, now we're just harboring more drug addicts that are using the system and abusing the system. That's just one of the ways the system's been abused. I mean, the system's been abused multiple ways, and one of the other ways that Rand Paul keeps pushing about is that you wait until you get sick to get on. We got to stop that too. Insurance is unaffordable if you only use it when you don't have it, right? So if you're able to pull from it without having it, or AKA you're able to get into it when you're sick and then draw, then what good is that? Why can't everyone just do that? It's not insurance at that point. It's just the government subsidizing your health care. And then again, you're going right back to where you began from. You began from the beginning. It's major, major, major problems. All right, one other story I want to get to. It's with Ann Coulter in Delta Airlines. Ann Coulter's got some problems with them. You may not like her, but I completely sympathize with her. And it's so frustrating when companies do this. We're going to go through her story next, coming up on KMOX. Going to take this in, one of the greatest music videos of all time. How about that for pop culture? Whatever, did they ever make a second song? Is this the only song they made and then they gave up? I'm sure they did other songs. So welcome back to Overnight America. So Delta Airlines and Ann Coulter going back and forth. Ann Coulter is a controversial figure, conservative commentator. May have seen her on Fox News or CNN or even The View. You might have seen her Not in any movie. She was at the roast of Rob Lowe and then bombed. Ooh, that was hard to watch. But she's someone that was a proponent of Donald Trump. She was on Real Time with Bill Maher. And she was asked the question, who do you think of the people that are declared candidates for the Republicans, who do you think has the best chance of becoming the candidate? And she said, Donald Trump. And everyone laughed at her. Everyone laughed. They thought they had such a big laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Boy, did she show them up. Because not only did he become the candidate, he also became the president of the United States. She's had a love-hate relationship. He was going to take a hard stance on immigration. Hate relationship when he didn't. She's someone that it's very hard to please. I've met her in person. She's a very nice person. Had a great conversation with her. Drove around with her in a car with her bodyguard. She keeps a bodyguard around because she is a controversial person. And you kind of expect that with some people. Like, I've met Glenn Beck before. He's got a whole entourage of security and people that work around him, mostly because when he does a show, he has the television aspect for it. So there's a huge television crew that follows him around, too. But, you know, people care. I've met, Vice President Pence. He's got security. I've met congressmen. They've had security. A lot of people have security nowadays. In this case, I don't know if she was traveling with it on Delta, but she specifically booked a seat through Delta, okay? And when you have a specific seat, you kind of expect to have that seat. You go through the booking, and you get to pick your seat. That's all well and good. In this case, for Delta, she paid extra money for it. And she was happy with it. She goes onto the plane, sits down, because she has her seat she already ordered. And then Delta comes up and asks her, hey, we need to move you to accommodate for someone else. Drive, it would make me go nuts, especially if I spent all that time to prepay and specifically pick a seat. What do you mean you asking me to leave? So that prompted her to say some things not too complimentary to Delta on Twitter. At Delta, didn't give my extra room seat to an air marshal or tall person. Here's the woman given my pre-booked seat. Delta's motto, how can we make your flight more uncomfortable? This just happened yesterday, 2 days ago, actually, on Sunday. She went on to complain about the flight's Wi-Fi and other things. She said Delta, quote unquote, sucks. Not happy with it. She even posted a picture on Twitter of the person that took her seat. In a statement released to Twitter, the airline was criticized, but the airline fought back, said that she was posting derogatory and slanderous comments in photos and social media. You know, I started reading some of the comments online. People just really don't like Ann Coulter because of her controversial nature. But for the most part, if that happened to anyone listening right now, you're telling me that if you took the time and you paid for a seat for someone to bump you that didn't prepay for that seat, I mean, you go in, you have it on your ticket, you go through the steward, you get your stuff, you wait, and you go on to the airplane, and then they tell you you can't have your seat. Tell me, wouldn't that drive you crazy if you found out, well, you booked well in advance, you got the seat, you paid for it, and then someone else could come in, and then after you, book it after you? What sense does that make? The airlines aren't going to win. They're not going to win over people, and they're not going to win over customer support with actions like this. And what I don't understand is you can't put your bias against Ann Coulter aside for a moment to realize this is nonsense. Delta apparently decided to give her back her pre-booking fee that she did to pick her specific location, which was $30 she paid. So Delta said, we'll refund the $30, which is a slap in the face, basically. Here's another tweet that she put out. But I love Delta declaring my tweets unacceptable. Delta now dictating acceptable conduct off the plane. Yeah. So Delta doesn't like that Ann Coulter, as someone that is angry and a celebrity, is talking bad about their airlines and the experience that she just had. Well, you could have turned it around. You could have had a positive experience for the people that were flying with you as opposed to a negative one. And then you wouldn't warrant the bad reviews. You didn't have to fight her head on. You could have admitted that there was a mistake and you could have found a way to move on or make it good for her. Here's another quote from Ann Coulter. She's absolutely right about this. Now they're policing our behavior after we're off the plane. Perhaps they should spend less time sneering at their customers' post-flight commentary and more time investigating why they invite customers to pre-book their seats online only for their gate agents to go into the computer, cancel the reservation seat, print new tickets, and give pre-booked seat to another customer. Tell me that's crazy. You're sitting in a seat, they cancel your reservation, they move you to another seat, and then they give your seat to someone else because they feel like that person needs it more than you. It's like going into a movie theater, and this is before you can pick the seats at your movie theater. I always hated it when you got there early for a movie. You would sit down because you wanted a specific seat, and then the movie would get so filled up that it would basically be a sellout. And then the ushers would come in and say, hey, can you move down? We need some room over here so the people that are coming in can sit down. They can all sit together. And my philosophy of that was, no, you know, I got here early. I want this seat. I don't want to move down so I'm sitting behind a tall dude. I want to be able to see everything. I like where I'm at. So no, tell them they can split up for showing up late. You know, I'm not going to be inconvenienced by them because they were inconvenienced by getting there early enough to find a seat. Just split them up. I don't care if they're sitting together or not. That's me being selfish. Sure. But you know what also it is? It's me saying, if I want to get something, you know, you wait for it and you get it. You don't just, it's kind of like when you're driving and someone merges last second. Like you're in line, you're waiting in the right-hand lane to get off on an exit. You've waited there for, you know, way too long when all these other cars are zipping by you on the left lane of the highway, you know. And you finally get up to the thing and someone decides, you know what, I'm just going to skip this entire line that everyone's been waiting for. My blinker will be enough to tell them that I deserve to get in and cut in front of you. I hate that stuff. You know, and airlines divulge into that too, except they force their way in. They force you to give up something you've been waiting for. And in this case, something you paid for, the specific seat. Why even bother booking specific seats if they can't keep up with it? Why even bother? All right. Well, that does it for Overnight America. You can reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Wow. Show goes by quick. If there's any other comments or things you want to find out about, for any stories you want us to cover, you can also get me on email, ryan.recker@kmox.com. Our American Stories is coming up next. Enjoy that. Really great stories here, including students teaching their, or what, students help. Yeah, they're succeeding. Don't ever count a kid out, all right? Sometimes the spirit of a kid can push them even further. You'll hear one of those stories coming up. Next, Game Watch.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.